Clickers and Clackers. I'm Adam, and we're... Wow, I already just got fucking backwards.
That was five words in, and you fucked it.
Oh, I'm Adam, and today with me is Ryan. Ryan, say hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to another episode of the HBO Boys, where we are recapping and reviewing HBO's adaptation of the video game The Last of Us. This week, we're on episode 7, entitled Left Behind, with a runtime of 50 minutes. This week, we took a peek into Ellie's past, thanks to the DLC expansion of the game with the same name, and we get some hidden motivation, as well as some really sad answers if you hadn't played the games, unlike Ryan, who has not played the game, but has watched the entire game via YouTube clips.
Yeah. Not purposely, but
no, you just come across it.
I'm just very addicted to YouTube, and if you watch enough of it, eventually you'll see all of the game, in their entirety.
Do you subscribe to YouTube Red?
I don't even know what that is. What is it? Is that some sort of
ad-free YouTube?
Is that some sort of cult thing that you have part of?
Or? It sure does sound like a cult.
Do you have a tattoo on your back that you're not allowed to show people about it? Or
YouTube Red? Yeah.
Yeah, my entire back is just filled in red. How long would that take?
Gross. Oh my god, it'd be terribly painful.
That'd be so chill.
No, but do you subscribe to YouTube Red?
Yeah, actually I got it last week.
Oh no.
I had gone for so long without it, and I saw one ad that was like 2 minutes long, and I was like, it broke me.
Unskippable ad, dude. You're getting bad. They're getting really bad.
Turns out I watch so much YouTube and it's 100% worth it. But I did it last week. And question for you.
Yeah.
When in the timeline of like real life did this DLC come out? Did it come out between 1 and 2 or after 2?
It came out like 3 years after the first game.
Okay.
Yeah. So it did come out after the first game, but well before the second game.
Mm-hmm. And there's a third game coming up, correct?
Not confirmed. They said that if they do have a story that is compelling and emotional and human, they will make a third game. But currently, there is no confirmed third game.
There's going to be a third. It will come out concurrently or right before the fourth season of The Last of Us, for sure. It has to happen.
So here's how the showrunners are going. Is they're saying, okay, if we don't make a third game, we are content with the ending of the second game. That's what Neil Druckmann said. However, they will not make a series, HBO series of the show, unless there is already a game made. So if they don't make a part 3, there will not be a season 3. They've already confirmed that.
Yeah. We'll see how long that goes when that check is wrote.
He's really protective of this story, and he won't create content for HBO that hasn't already been made for the game.
I don't believe him.
I believe him.
Listen, I don't believe him in the way of like, I think there's going to be a third game. Like I just said, I think with how well the show is doing and how well and how much longevity both games have, I think it would just make sense to keep going with it. Although, like, the next season of Succession, which season 4 that's about to come out, my favorite show on television, is going to be the last. And HBO was like, please don't make it be the last. And Jesse Armstrong, the guy who created it, was like, it's the end of the story. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Like, if we do what happened to Lost, where the network just says you have to keep going, it's going to get markedly worse. And we're not gonna. So suck it, HBO.
I'm in the weird spot. Like, I would love to see it go on, but I would almost respect it not going on because I would want it to be as powerful, as moving, as impactful as the first two games. So I'd be fine if it didn't.
I think there's something to be said, though, that if Neil Druckmann and Craig Mazin stay on the project and have more seasons, either without a game or concurrently with a third game, that it's at least going to stay at the quality that I think it should. Although we never know, right? Because that is years away.
Sure. Yeah. They don't have any sort of story for a part 3 yet. And they're working on at least in the game space, they're working on the multiplayer factions that will be coming out in The Last of Us World, which will be probably pretty fun. I'm excited for that.
That does sound pretty lit. By the way, I am back on this podcast again, and I'll most likely be finishing out the season with you, which I'm excited about. about, unless James can find some time. Won't get into why, but it's all good stuff that is happening in Jamie's life, which makes it hard for him to do the podcast at the moment. Hopefully, when Perry Mason drops, he can figure it out as well, because I really want to do that with him. That's what's happening after The Last of Us and before Succession comes out. Banger after banger after banger HBO is having at the moment.
Slaying it.
But yeah, I apologize to the audience. I would also rather have James.
The cool, calm, collected voice of Jamie.
Yeah, right. The guy and the vibe is going to be weird and different because...
Yeah, like, but we already did this. We did this for episode 3. The longest and most somber one.
Yes. The problem is episode 3 was really, really good. And I loved it.
Yeah.
Why is it that I'm on the two episodes that are deviations from not the main storyline, but from the main timeline, right?
Yeah.
Where they decide to either elongate or go back in time and tell a kind of a side story. And your old pal Ryan comes to complain about it.
You know, I don't know, but I'm here for it. And you are also here for it. So,
yeah, I'm here to fight you today. I'm going to fight you.
Oh, my God. No, no. You know me. I bow down even though I have my thoughts.
Fast forward 40 minutes and you're cursing me out and our friendship is over.
No.
That'd be so lit.
I respect everyone's opinion. However, I may not agree.
Anyway. I can't wait. Cut to you're at my house and you're stabbing me.
Yeah, sure.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Cool, cool, cool. Okay, so we actually see very little of Joel in this episode. This is a centric around Ellie, both in the present timelines and in flashback. Now, Ryan, you told us in the pre-show banter, and if you'd like to hear that pre-show banter, you can go ahead and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. You said that you watched this on YouTube, the Left Behind DLC online. And for me, as the gamer who played this in its entirety, this was incredibly faithful to that DLC, which was seamlessly woven into the main story of the show, which we did not get with the source material. How did you feel about it?
So I only watched the ending of the DLC to make sure that it was the same, to make sure that when they decided to cut the end off where they did in the show was the same as the game, which it is, because I was going to complain that if they did more in the game and actually showed us like in a real fulfilling ending, in my opinion, that I was going to be like, they did it in the game. They just couldn't figure it out how to do on the show. Turns out, nope. They had two unfulfilling endings, one in the game and one in the show. So
no, it was not unfulfilling. It's fine.
Fast forward, stab, stab.
Stab, 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 Ryan, stab. Let me take your car.
Yay. Wait, no.
I have the same car. It's fine.
But better. Shut up.
Anyway. Yeah,
bring that up. Make me feel bad.
Anyway, the show goes after the DLC, which came out several years after the game's release. So it did fill some information that we were missing as players of the game, which I really liked. But to your point, Ryan, they did leave you hanging at the end of the DLC as they did in the show. But it's assuming that you understand where it's going and what you do. And your argument is that's not really the best way to do that on TV. Can you expand upon that, please?
Yeah, without spoiling it, it's going to be
without spoiling it,
a little difficult.
If you can.
Yeah. And by the way, like there are going to be kind of like three portions I'm going to ask for this episode, which is a pre-spoilers, a spoiler, and then a third part where I also spoil like the first season of Game of Thrones. And I also spoil like a bunch of other things to give you context as to why I'm complaining. I like there to be ends of stories.
Sure.
I like there to be, and listen, I don't need everything wrapped up in a bow, but the inference of this episode, the story as a whole, and the ending of it has been brought up by Bella Ramsey's Ellie multiple times in the past. She discusses that she has killed someone in the past, but doesn't say who, although you kind of pick up on the fact that it wasn't just a rando. It was somebody that she cared for. You also know that she has trauma. She, for sure. Like,
yeah.
She was born and raised in the Boston QZ. She doesn't know any family, but she has had friends who have died, one specifically that she probably had to kill herself, all of which you've learned prior to this episode airing, and gives you the story of said encounter, of said friendship, coloring in her past more, which is great, except for the fact that this is a 9-episode season, and it feels like any time that we're straying from Joel and Ellie in a very short season of television, now all these seasons of television are like 9 or 10 episodes, but it feels like, I don't want it. Stop. Like, give me the Joel and Ellie story. There are only 2 main characters in this show, and I'd like to be with them for as much as possible time as I can.
Yeah. Now the problem with that, though, after playing the game, is that at this point in the game where Joel is injured, it is not them for a very large portion of the ending of this game to where it reaches its penultimate part. You don't see a lot of Joel and Ellie together. It focuses on her and her experiences, which we'll see next episode.
I assume his stabbing is what switches the game perspective from playing as Joel to playing as Ellie, right?
Yep.
Right. Which is an omen of things to come.
Oh, yeah.
That Ellie is... It's sort of a switching of the main character, really, where you've been Joel this whole time, but it's sort of been like, hey, you're going to sort of be... Ellie's the main character now. And this is the perspective change that really blasts that off into reality. So get used to that shit.
Yeah, it's always around. It's always been about Ellie. It's just you're seeing it from Joel's perspective through the whole game until this piece where you switch over.
Oh, my God. Let's do the ads and then talk spoilers because I want to do it.
Oh, wait.
you want to say more things? Whatever, dude. Fine.
Well, so I had a couple of thoughts that I had written down, and
I would love to hear your thoughts.
On the internet, a lot of people are similar to you, where you're like, you know what? It didn't wrap anything up. Nothing really happened. It just kind of was filler episode or bottleneck episode. But I understand everyone's desire for nonstop action. It's a zombie apocalypse show. And I also understand how short people's attention spans may be. And I'm not talking about you, Ryan. I'm talking about generally.
Yeah, but still, it is about me, and I'm fine with that.
But this episode was generally really sweet, and if you slow down and take it more than just face value, it felt like I was playing the DLC again in real time. You were getting more information that you wanted to know about her backstory, her history. Sure, it's adapted for TV where they had to make changes, right? You had to tighten up the story a little bit. You couldn't drag things out. It would have taken forever, because the DLC, if you watch the cutscenes, it's like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Like, you can't do that. Even they changed around the execution of when this happens, how it happens from the game. It's different in the show, but it showed Ellie's not so distant past and that she sure has experienced loss. Her and Joel are more similar than they both realize, and this confirms it. So yeah, it's not a ton of action. It didn't, like you say, wrap it into a tight little bow, but I loved that it built this character backstory, which shows Ellie's motives and what she wants to do and how she goes about doing it in the coming 2 final episodes.
I think this episode is going to, in the long term, be put up against the Bill and Frank episode, because they were both deviations from the main linear story that we are seeing. And it's the second time they've done it in the first season, which philosophically I do have a bit of a problem with. One, because again, I just want to see Joel and Ellie together. That's the show to me. And when it's something else, it needs to be amazing for it to justify not being Joel and Ellie. Frank and Bill's episode was so good that it got away with it, in my opinion, because that episode will be talked about as most likely a bright shining star from this first season.
I don't even think it's going to be from just this show, though. That episode was so well done as a storytelling medium that, aside from it being part of this show, it will go down as one of the better story-driven pieces of television that we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah, and this episode won't. is what I'm saying.
No, like, I don't believe that this one will either. Absolutely not. No, they're not on the same level, for sure. I agree with you.
Yeah, which is just a bummer, because if you're going to marinate, if you're going to ask your audience to be like, listen, guys, I know you like Joel and Ellie, but here's something completely different. And you're going to ask like the audience that I represent, which is the guy who's like, why? then it has to be Bill and Frank level. And the fact that it wasn't, while it had a lot of great moments, because this is a AAA show on HBO written by people who understand how to make television. Of course, you're not going to have like just an entire episode that is complete shit. I don't think in this show ever. But when you put it up against Bill and Frank, when you at the end of the season see the totality of it, I think this episode will be forgotten justifiably.
Yeah. The only thing that I think will stay with this episode, aside from the fact that a lot of people thought it was like this woke thing, oh, these, you know, these two girls.
No, fuck
are,
that. I don't know. Anytime anyone says the word woke,
that's what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing on the internet.
No, I don't care. If you say the word woke,
I agree with you.
I know you agree with me. But if you say the word woke and you're not being ironic, throw yourself off a mountain. Like, I don't. Shut up. God, I don't care.
Okay, I know you're chomping at the bit here, so yeah. Well, that is it for our spoiler-free review. Take a listen to these ads, and we'll get right back down and fully spoil the show for you.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm going to assume that ad was Home Depot. Those are the ads that I get.
I hope it's Home Depot because they're rebuilding their world, you know?
Yeah, it's ED medication or Home Depot.
All right, Ryan, let's go to the mall today.
Dude, today. Nice. Robin Sparkles up in here.
Robin
Very
Sparkles.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so we start on Joel. He's bleeding out, seriously injured, laying on a mattress on the floor, and Ellie's above him, frantically applying pressure to his brand new stab wound. And Joel says to leave him, leave me behind, and go back to Tommy, leave me here. And she gets up and starts to begin to walk out, and she stops, grabs the door handle to the basement, and we see this flashback. Now, this is the Left Behind DLC starting. This is exactly how it starts in the game, aside from it being her scrounging through a mall to find supplies and her kind of reminiscing in real time. This is just a flashback in the show. So they did amend that a little bit for this.
I liked the beginning of this episode. I liked how she was running and she was being bullied. Obviously, there was a moment there where she used to be protected by a friend who was no longer there. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the story. I like how she punches that girl in her face and how she gets punched in her face as well. And then she has a meeting with her superior, whom I loved this scene with her superior.
Oh, yeah.
He was very pragmatic. He's like, listen, man, there are only kind of two options here. You're a Fedra kid. You're either going to keep doing what you're doing. The girl who punched you in the face is going to be your boss, which I'm sure you would love. Or you're very smart. You're very resourceful. You can just kind of stop being who you are and be her boss instead. Like, those are your two paths. And she's like, great, can I have my Walkman, please?
Yeah. I mean, she was not only mentally being prepared to work for Fedra, but also physically to protect the QZ and kill Fireflies specifically. She was being indoctrinated and singled out as a potential leader, which I thought was cool. That was not in the game. We don't see this in the game. But she gets sent to the principal office, like you said, and the wonderful Terry Chen, gentleman who played the sergeant or whatever you want to call him, I actually recognized him from the movie Almost Famous, and I confirmed it. I was like, I think that's the guy who played in Almost Famous. And low-key, he's been in a ton of shit, and I would love to see other stuff that he's been in, because like you, I thought this was a great scene. I think he did this very well. And after that pep talk, Ellie vows to do better. All good.
Yeah.
Her friend Riley has been MIA for 3 weeks. Riley, played by Storm Reid,
who I know from Euphoria. She plays Zendaya's younger sister. than Euphoria. And by the way, Euphoria, if you don't give that show the time of day, you're missing out. Yeah, it's really good. Zendaya specifically, that performance, but also Storm Reid in that show is great. And I can very much understand why she got this job as well. Bella Ramsey and Storm Reid work perfectly off of each other in a story that I don't know if it had to be told in this season of television, but because it did anyway, more power to them. And they both did a wonderful job.
Yes, yes, I agree. Very wonderful dynamic between them too. During the night, Riley returns. Ellie's sleeping and wakes her up in a very startling way and explains that she ran away for a bit, joined the Fireflies. And Riley, missing her friend, invites her to have the quote unquote best night of her life. After initial hesitation, Ellie is like, okay, you know what? I agree. Let's go ahead. And they sneak out and head outside. Ellie follows Riley into a building where they see a guy who OD'd on pills and whiskey. What a way to go. So naturally, the girls take the alcohol bottle just as he falls through the floor. They burst out with laughter. Weird, but okay.
Yeah, right. In this post-apocalyptic wasteland where infected might kill you at any given moment, a dead dude falling through the ground is straight hilarious.
Yeah, that's their comedy.
Yeah. It's not even dark comedy anymore. It's just comedy.
Riley goes on saying she was inducted into the Fireflies by Marlene, who obviously we know from the beginning of the show, and they bicker about who's fascist, who's holding it together. Never really a winning argument here.
You know, if James was here, he would go on like a 5-minute diatribe on fascism because yeah, that's his deal. He really would want to get into it. I don't care.
Wonderful. But
yeah. And I'm not saying his thing is wrong. I'm just saying I know nothing and I won't be helpful there. I like to understand that the two sides of this have humanizing factors. The superior at the beginning being a generally good dude, a pragmatic gentleman who is not a, you know, what Fedra is to the Fireflies, just blind dictators. They're real people too. And the Fireflies not being blind revolutionaries whom are just trying to mess everything up for the sake of messing things up. Like, it is not that simple on either side. No. And that very complicated story is nicely boiled down into now two girls who are best friends on opposite sides of a ongoing war.
Yeah, can't we all just get along?
No, not when they're zombies.
Wonderful. So they make their way to the mall. And Ellie is sure that there is infected in there, but Riley assures her that there is not, and that it's not even entirely sealed off. So they break into the mall and Riley powers on the mall in all of its 2003 neon glory and explains that when Fedra powered up the new section of the grid, this was part of it. And Ellie is staring on the balcony looking at this mall in absolute amazement.
Yeah. And Riley says, I'm going to show you the four best things about this mall. At which point they get to an escalator and Ellie's like, what?
She cannot keep her shit together.
No. At which point Riley's like, okay, I guess I'll show you the five things because the escalator was not one of them. And actually,
I did not have this in mind.
Yeah, no. And then Sam actually told me a story recently about her childhood where she was on an escalator that was temporarily stairs. Thanks, Mitch Hedberg, because it was off. But while she was on the escalator, it turned on. And
oh, that's terrifying.
She was like turning around to talk to somebody while walking down the escalator as it turned on. And then she like fell forward and it cheesed gratered her leg and she still has a terrible thing from it. I was thinking it sounds awful. I was thinking that as Ellie was going down and I was like, oh my God, please don't get hurt. Yeah, escalators are just moving knives.
Yeah, I just thought it was a very endearing moment with Ellie, like really showing that she's young and inexperienced in life. Like she was going up and down, like exactly like you would do in an escalator. You go up the reverse way and it's like, oh, I'm not moving at all. Like,
yeah, right.
You do
escalator games, obviously. Yeah,
exactly. Yes, yes. Yeah.
And you just try not to get cheese grated.
Right. And the first wonder of the mall, which is now the second wonder of the mall, Riley guides her to a carousel. Again, taken right from the game, this sequence of events that Riley brings her through is very one-to-one. There's a couple of little changes here and there, but it is the same. And I, as a gamer who loves this game, I appreciated that a lot. The attention detail truly is amazing in the show.
What amount of this DLC is you shooting shooting things, what amount of it is playing? Or is it just sort of like a moving book, like one of the Walking Dead games where it's just sort of a movie that you're moving around in?
It's like the Telltale games. It's very similar. There's a couple of things that you have to look for, search for, and do and get. There is no infected interaction. It is a total exploratory thing. They want you to explore the space because, again, and I found myself doing this in the normal game when I first got it, is the set pieces of the game are so giant and so detailed. I found myself like running into the corner of like a coffee shop and you can see all the signs, you can see all the prices, and like that attention to detail is so intense, and they have a lot of it in the DLC for this specifically.
Yeah, so like that kind of game is not my cup of tea.
I get it.
That kind of game extrapolated out into a TV episode is also not my cup of tea for the same reason.
Well, something to keep in mind, though, the difference between the game and the show is that in the game, you essentially are taken back to the scene where Ellie is taking care of Joel and she has to go find supplies. So what she does is she leaves Joel in the house and she goes to the closest building, which happens to be an abandoned mall, and she's searching for supplies in the abandoned mall. And as she's going to different places in the mall, she's reminded of her experience with Riley, and you're now transported back and then playing as old Ellie and Riley, and then back into the current day where she goes to a different piece of the mall. So like you're walking up to like a broken down carousel and it flashbacks to when you were with Riley at the carousel and you play that scene and then it comes back to. So in the game it was really dragged out.
Yeah,
but it did have an objective.
Better. That is better in every way.
3 hours.
I'm so mad you just told me that.
It would have been 3 hours long.
Who cares? Like, that's so much better. Oh my God. I'm so mad. Keep going.
Yeah. So it was very different. And of course, you don't have to allow for time on HBO Network in the game. So I think that what they did to kind of make it different, again, like I said earlier, shortened it up, tightened it up, made it kind of a little bit more cohesive for the screen. That's what they did different. And it was very different. But to answer your question in a long form answer is that it was a very exploratory part of the game where you are experiencing the set pieces and the detail they had in the game. But you do have objectives you have to do. It's not like you're not doing anything.
Fine. I'm so mad.
I'm sorry. So Riley guides her to the carousel and they ride it until it breaks down. And we see Ellie staring at Riley with very much fondness. Clearly, there's something more than a friendship here to Ellie.
She loves her.
Oh, yeah, very much. Young love. Very cute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Riley continues to explain her reasoning for being away for so long. But Ellie was the one person that she did miss. So she wanted to come back and see her.
Yeah, I mean, Ellie thought she was dead.
Right. Which understandable, right?
Yeah, no. In this world, if you disappear, you're dead.
Yeah, we're assuming you're dead. Next up is the photo booth, silly pictures and faces. And I remember doing this exact same thing at the mall in 2003 with the photo booth. And the only difference was is my photos came out way better than theirs. I guess theirs had, you know, 20 years of shit on the film.
It just reminded me of the New Girl episode where Nick Miller decides he's living in a photo machine now.
And
he's drunk in it and he won't get out.
Yes. And then we're moving along onto the arcade where they finally get to play Mortal Kombat 2 for real. And Ellie loves the shit out of this. And this is a callback to not only the posters on her dorm room wall, but also in episode 3, when they were gearing up that old Cumbie's gas station, there was the Mortal Kombat 2 machine. And she said, oh man, my friend played this with me. My friend played or whatever. She didn't go into detail. And this was, again, just calling back to that she experienced that with Riley.
Yeah, she said that her friend knew how to do the ending moves of the Mortal Kombat. Fatality.
Right. Yeah.
And this is the second time she has inferred that this friend existed, other than the time where she said she's killed someone in the past. And you don't know that that's the same person in both stories, but it obviously is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there was a short cutaway, and we get a glimpse that the two aren't alone in the mall. It cuts away to a infected awakening in a dark corner. So we are kind of getting introduced to a little danger here. So that was very cool. In the game, you did not get that, obviously. It was just all infected all at once.
Clear them all, right? Like, especially when you learn that Riley is posted here and it's a place where it's a place where she has explosives and where she is the sole person here for the Fireflies.
Yeah.
On a nightly basis, clear the entire mall, right?
She could have been dead way earlier.
Like, what are we doing here? How is that not the first thing you... I don't...
After that cutaway, we see them again kind of puttering around the mall, and Ellie makes it known that she actually does want to leave now as to not get in trouble. She's had a lot of shit with Fedra and doesn't want to get thrown in the whatever they call it, like detention center or whatever. But Riley says that she got her gift, and it was the pun book part two, which I thought that, again, this is another thing we see, but we don't know where she got it from. Well, we now know that Riley gave her the pun book.
Yes. And this is also where Ellie's like, listen, this is all great and fun, but I got to go back. I have to wake up and like make my bed in 2 seconds from now.
Right.
Why don't we just continue doing this tomorrow night? At which time Riley is like, yeah, maybe, or maybe not though. Maybe we don't do it tomorrow night for not a reason. There's no like specific reason I'm not telling you currently, but like maybe not that.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, did I ever tell you that I never trusted stairs? They're always up to something.
I hate you.
So Ellie is wandering around Riley's base camp there in the back room of a taco shop, and she finds homemade bombs. And she asks Riley if she made them, and yes, she sure did, but insists that she would never use them on this place or Ellie, but like, would other Fireflies use them on Ellie or this place? Mm-hmm. Most likely.
Yeah, they totally would. Also, Riley, you're being very naive. You have no idea if where you used those bombs or where Marlene and company used those bombs in the future was going to be near Ellie or not. She thinks to herself, like, listen, I'm doing this all for a good reason. I'm a Firefly because I'm not a fascist pig anymore. But it's especially for two young women, the realities of the situation. Like, listen, this isn't Kansas City Fedra or Pittsburgh Fedra in the game, right? Where they're being a extra level of terrible in Boston, except for the fact that, people who don't want to be ruled by a military dictatorship are still like, hey, stop, cut it out. And they shoot those people, and those people shoot back. So it's more of like guerrilla warfare. So again, Riley, yeah, you don't know where these bombs are going to be used. Also, clear the mall, right?
Right. Clear the mall of infected, you dumb idiot.
God, you got your friend. Your fault.
Ellie does make a good point here, though. Like, she says that, yeah, that's fine that you aren't going to do that, but do you think that they are going to really listen to you? No, they're not going to listen to you, Riley, a 18-year-old girl or whatever year old she is. Like, there's just no way.
You're new, bud.
She ain't got nothing. She just has a pistol. That's all they gave her.
Yeah, which is like the first time that Ellie's like, let me hold that gun, baby.
Yeah. She's just got this fascination with guns.
Well, you need them to not get murdered by a plant zombie. So,
well, I mean, you know, Ellie's always been in the QZ, so they never had guns, right?
I mean, she never had guns. She's going to graduate if she stays in Fedra long enough to having one.
Yeah, for sure.
But as we know, that goes awry. So,
yeah, does go awry. So Ellie stomps away in anger, but Riley quickly explains that she's being sent away to her and just wanted to say goodbye. And they both have a good cry because, you know, young love. But Ellie continues to leave anyway, just frustrated with everything. But she has a second thought and turns around. And
she hears screaming.
Yes. So she turns around and goes back and then hears screaming, like what sounds like Riley screaming, but it ends up being just like this terrible Halloween prop that just happens to work after 20 years. What?
Yeah, she walks into where Riley is sitting, which is in one of those pop-up Halloween stores.
Spirit Halloween.
Yeah, it's Spirit Halloween, which is the craziest place on earth. The fact that they just like they form out of nowhere and then disappear into the wind when Halloween's gone and become a calendar/Christmas store. So yes, but Riley is just sitting there being all sad because she's going to Atlanta tomorrow and her friend she'll most likely never see again. But Ellie comes back And at that point, they squash the beef a little bit. And as you do, begin to dance on top of tables with masks on. So everybody does that.
Yeah. And in the game, this was a little backwards where they actually went to the Halloween store first. And then the dancing sequence was just like without masks and in another random store, like a Best Buy store, essentially. But yeah, they have a heart to heart and hands her a werewolf mask, which I thought was funny because it looked really dopey when she put it on because it's like oversized, which I thought was funny. And then Riley puts on the creepiest clown mask I've ever seen.
Yeah. The mask thing was weird. When they, like, I get it. The point was that when they're done having fun and they take the masks off is a moment where they're looking each other in the eyes and Ellie decides to go for broke and kiss her best friend, and at which point she says she's sorry, and Riley says, for what? That unrequited love is no longer unrequited. So at which point Ellie's like, listen, man, you can't leave.
Yeah.
Stay for me. And Riley says yes.
Which, yeah, she sure does.
At this point, if you didn't know Riley was going to die yet, that's the moment where you're like, that character's dead as shit.
Oh, she's dead. But, you know, again, a little different from the game, in the mask shop in the game where they're just kind of in a Halloween store playing around, that's not where they have the kiss. They have the kiss during the dancing sequence where they don't have masks on. So it's interesting that you said that, oh, you know, the masks make sense here because that's when they take them off and they're eye to eye. That's not how it went in the game.
That's fine. Listen.
Yeah.
Were people on the internet mad that these two girls kissed? Was that the thing that they were mad about?
It was some of it. Yeah. Some people were. Yeah.
I hate that.
I do too, man.
especially because after reading the synopsis of the game, the same thing happens in the game under different circumstances.
Yeah.
But it's very obvious that in both mediums, these two girls love each other and are on the brink of never seeing each other again. In that very complicated scenario, Ellie is brave enough to go out on a limb and kiss Riley, which is a beautiful moment, especially because it is reciprocated by the girl that she loves. This is not making the little boy deaf. This is not like a thing they just decided to do for the show to up the tension of it. This is something that also happened in the DLC, and it is a character choice that they made from the beginning for Ellie. So if you think at all negative, like, it's just the same crowd that I'm always mad at on the internet.
I know. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm reading the comments on these articles saying, you know, oh, you know, why is it got to be, again, they're using the word woke. Why is this woke thing? Oh, why do they got to be like lovers and gay? Like,
why do you have to be a homophobic piece of shit?
Right. And people, the comments say, like, clearly you've never played the games if you're just finding this out now, you know, claiming to be like a lover of this, of the story, and like had high expectations. You clearly had no idea what was happening. So I don't know. People like that, like you, pissed me off. I'm just a little less vocal about it.
I just feel bad for those people, man. Like,
yeah.
To let bigotry ruin a television show for you is so just like, what is your life? Fuck you.
And that's the same thing we talked about in episode 3. Like, I knew immediately that the internet was going to react poorly, or a good portion, or a small sect of people would be very negative. And I was right. And that's really sad that we can predict that.
Fuck them. We should stop talking about them, honestly.
We're just giving them notoriety.
This very small podcast about The Last of Us. In the future, let's just be like, and of course the assholes were being assholes on the internet, and then just move on, because whatever, dude.
So to change speed a little bit, let's talk about the visual cues and beautiful cinematography of this show for a second. In the scene where they're dancing on top of the cabinet, the wonderful Etta James song I Got You Babe is playing, and there is a hidden meaning in there with the lyrics, so go back and watch it or listen to the song if you need to, but it's a great song choice for for this scene, and they're dancing on top of this illuminated cabinet, and there's just this beautiful uplighting that's really warm in this very dark landscape. It's just the thematic imagery that was happening with lighting and music. It was just so well done. Regardless if you didn't like the episode or didn't find this one to be very interesting, what they're doing with the medium is so pretty, like very visually pretty. And I just appreciated that. You know, again, I said in the beginning, kind of tongue in cheek, the 2003 neon illumination of the mall. It truly was a very beautiful color gradient. This was one of the most detailed sets that this show will see. They just have done an excellent job bringing this to reality, which I'm so happy about. That was one of my biggest concerns with this, and they've smashed it.
Yes. When it comes to the aesthetic of not like just the aesthetic overall, the amount of thought that they've put in as to the sound design and the visual design, they're knocking it out of the park. Of course they are, right? This is the kind of thing, you know, when people are like, you know, I miss old movies, you know, like the black and white movies,
sure,
where the stories were so different and much better back then, when when no women were kissing and it was black and white and it was poor lighting and all the lines were dubbed because all the audio equipment was straight awful. Wasn't that so much better? No, it wasn't. It all sucked.
Like, yeah.
It's so much better now.
I know.
You have nostalgia for those, and that's fine.
And the technology is so good now. It really is unreal.
Of course it is. 5 seconds of this episode of The Last of Us is better than every movie made before 1970.
Wow. What about the movie Ben-Hur? Like,
Ben where? Bend over and don't ever show me that movie. Fuck that movie.
Wow. Okay.
No, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. Now I'm being ageist and fuck me.
Yeah. What the hell, man? Get the hell out of here.
I'm bad. I'm a bad person.
Also, one more thing to note about this scene when they took off the masks. Bella Ramsey really is an excellent young actor. I'm finding out. I had my concerns with her being cast as Ellie because of the, you know, source material being so expertly done. She did so well. When she takes off that mask and she's got tears in her eye and she says, please don't go. That hit me, man. It was such a powerful just moment, this complete vulnerability, and Bella Ramsey just smashed it. She's so good.
I hope one day that you just are bored enough where you start Game of Thrones and you eventually it's an amazing show, you should watch.
Dude, there's so much shit I have to watch.
Yeah, I know, but when you eventually get to her character, I think it will be an interesting, like, just to see how much she's grown as an actor.
Sure. Yeah,
from then
yeah.
till now, especially because she was great in Game of Thrones. Okay. But yeah, the amount of emotion that she can show on her face, the amount that she can carry a premier television show is commendable. It's awesome.
I'm jealous, man. I'm jealous. I wish I had that talent.
What? Oh, I was like, you're jealous? You wish that you were the lead actor of a premier television show on HBO? What?
Yeah.
So do I, bud. So do I.
In our meantime, we'll just talk about it.
Fuck. That sucks. The way you said that sucks. That made me sad. Fuck you. Keep going. Whatever, dude.
So after they share this lovely embrace and kiss, they're interrupted by the sound of an infected bursting out towards them. And Riley shoots at it, manages to hit it, but it pulls them both to the ground, temporarily knocking out Riley. Ellie's trying to fight with her knife, and Riley finally arises up and knocks the infected off of her, and Ellie runs up and stabs the infected in the head and explodes in laughter and cheer because her adrenaline is crazy. She killed probably her first infected, which is, why not celebrate that? That's epic.
Yeah, it also gives more context to when Ellie was in the Cumberland Farms and sees the infected under the rubble and stabs it slowly, like the hatred that she has for all of them. I didn't like that moment when it happened, and in retrospect, with the more context added, I don't hate it as much.
Yeah, you don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't mind it. What I don't like in this scene and it's a thing they do in zombie shows, is like the zombie's mouth, I don't think ever got near her arm. And obviously it was all happening very quickly. Or yeah. like, you know, and when they both show that they've now been bitten, I was like, okay, well, I don't know. Maybe that should have been telegraphed more. The point of it is for it not to be telegraphed for both of them. But at this point, if you don't know, like, obviously, you know, Ellie is going to get bitten because this is what sets off her storyline. And you know that Riley doesn't make it out of this episode because of the Last of Us thing that happens where they introduce you to a character, make you like them a lot, and then kill them within the same episode, which is a thing that they do all the time now.
They even said that in the post show interviews with the creators, like, yeah, we, you know, we had this wonderful thing and then we ripped it away from her, like almost punishing Ellie.
Yeah, I didn't, it, that was a weird moment because it's like the, and it's kind of a problem I have on a grander scale with the show, is like the creators of the show are like, yeah, we gave Ellie something she loved and then we took it from her. It's like they're jerking themselves off from how much they love hurting their characters.
A little bit, yeah, but it, I mean, it makes for a wonderful storytelling.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sadly.
The fifth character that you introduce in one season that dies in the same episode that they are introduced and goes through the same formula, like, I don't know, it doesn't hit as hard as it did the first, second, third, or fourth time, Craig. Yeah. And Neil,
well, now you know how this ends, and I think that the ending will, it makes up for it in some regard, so we'll get there when we get there.
What are you talking about?
The ending of the game.
Sure.
So Ellie's laughing, her adrenaline's really high, she's celebrating, and we pan to Riley, who's looking at Ellie's arm, and they realize that she's been bitten, and Riley raises her hand, and well, oops, they've both been bitten. And yeah, here again,
oopsie doodles.
Oopsie doodles. Another great, great bit of acting by Bella when she shouts no, 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 and wipes her wound with her hand. I felt it, man. I rewatched that scene again, and like, it is like this feeling of doom, impending doom. And it's just, she's so good. She is really good, man. And I'm so happy that she's so good.
Yeah, they both react very differently. Ellie gets very angry, starts smashing shit. Yep. Riley is just downtrodden and sitting there. Again, this adds context because, like, you know that, the entire conceit of this show is that Ellie was bitten but is immune. But until you get to see the moment in time where she was actually bit and she thinks she's going to die, because that's what happens to 100% of the people who have been bitten other than her up to this point, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Like, it adds to the moment where Sam looks at her and asks, are you still you inside of you, mm-hmm. after you get bitten? Like, that's how he's going through it. He's having this crazy internal existential struggle.
Yeah.
And that's not what she did. She smashed shit. She is angry that this
furious.
Happened. She is mad that this is the world that she was born into. This is not fair. While Riley, seemingly a little bit older than her, is just quicker to be like, well, fuck.
Just defeated. And before that, though, they quickly flash back to the Joel and Ellie in the house scene, and she begins raiding the cabinets, trying to find something to help him. So we're seeing this parallel of her being pissed off, breaking the glass, and her scrambling to find something to help Joel, because that's all she wants to do is help Joel, the only thing that she has left in this world, and she will do anything to try and do that. And then they flash back to the mall, and Ellie sits back down as they contemplate their options. They're talking to each other, like, what are the best ways out of this? What are our options? And they both decide to wait it out and keep going as long as they can in their current state. And Riley says a great line that's in the game verbatim. Why can't we just be all poetic and lose our minds together? And then right. She apologizes to Ellie, and they both hold each other, and, you know.
Yes, very a la Bill and Frank, where it's very romantic that they both took the pills and both decided to go out on more or less to go out on their own terms.
Sure.
Obviously, Riley and Ellie not on their own terms for how they got to this moment, but their deaths, they still can mold to how they want them to be. But obviously, fate has another idea for Ellie.
Sure.
And that won't be how it ends, which is why it sucks that it cuts off right there in the game, for me personally, in the game and in the show. I wanted to see the moment Marlene probably got there at the end with Bella Ramsey's Ellie holding Riley in her arms, most likely after having to shoot her when she turned. I wanted to see the moment where Riley turned and Bella slash Ellie is forced to kill her best friend and first love, whom she kissed not 24 hours earlier. I wanted to see all of those moments. I wanted to feel those moments, and it just feels like they were stolen from me.
Do you think it would have been more or less effective, though?
More.
Really? Because I think leaving it up to him, I think it's more impactful not, because it leaves it up to your imagination, like how it went.
I would have more. Listen, I don't need the exact moment in time where Riley turns and Ellie has to kill her. But I think the end of that episode should have been Marlene looking for a Riley who didn't show up and coming upon Ellie, who is holding her dead friend, seeing Ellie's arm, noticing that she hasn't turned, Ellie crying, seeing a bullet hole in Riley's head from Ellie having to kill her and trying to extrapolate out what is going on in this situation and seeing the meet between Marlene and Ellie in that moment. That's what I wanted the end to be. And I think it's just a moment where Craig and Neil are asking too much of the audience. And again, just being like, yeah, we're not going to show that. It's like they're just taking too much joy in leaving out information because they think it's more poetic, when I just think it's worse television.
I can respect that, because I think if they added in it could have even been 2 minutes, a 2 minute scene where Ellie has already shot Riley and she's holding her crying and Marlene walks in, they don't even have to say anything. And I think that scene would have added something additional for sure. I'm with you on that. But I don't, like you, I think seeing her commit the act of shooting Riley would have been too much. I don't think that's necessary. I think that you can be left to your imagination on that one. But I agree with you. I think it would have been interesting to see Marlene come in, have a quick scene where Marlene kind of assesses the visual situation of the room, and it leaves you there knowing that, hey, it's tying back to the original story. But I wouldn't have wanted anything more than that. I think it would have been too much pandering.
I don't know. I think you and I are diametrically opposed here. I think you give too much of the benefit of the doubt because you have so much nostalgia and love for the games. And it's a moment where, like, Bella Ramsey having to go through that, having to kill her best friend, is a piece of acting we'll never get to see.
Sure.
because they left it up to our imagination. This is television. You don't leave it up to our imagination. Show it to me. Like,
it's interesting because they didn't even do that in the game, where they can take more time to do it.
Also and, bad.
but when it came out, that DLC, it was wildly praised by the gamers, even with the ending the way it was. Like, you can watch streamers playing it, and when it happens, it cuts without anything additional happening. They're kind of like, oh man. And like, you see a sigh, but then it was immediate, like, I get it. I don't need to see it.
If that had happened and I was streaming that game and that cut, I'd have said, in that moment, I'd have gone, what?
Yeah.
What? What? They don't, what?
Maybe you're a little too opinionated.
How dare you? How dare you do that to me? How dare
you rob me of emotion?
Yeah. I played the whole thing and then I don't get to see the end? What the fuck?
Well, you know what? I do agree. I think they could have added a little bit more. And who knows? Maybe we will get another flashback that shows it. They have gone off script here. I don't know that they will. Perhaps they will at the beginning of next episode, but I just don't think that they will do it because it mirrors the game so similarly.
Yeah. I mean, I just... Listen, the next thing I'm going to say is spoilers for stuff that's ahead. It's spoilers for stuff that's in Game of Thrones season one. The next minute and a half are all of the, like, if you don't want to know what the end of this season is going to be, if you don't want to know like the big thing that happens in the second season, if you don't want to know any of that, skip ahead 2 minutes right now. Do that. Do that. Do that. Okay, Adam, fucking let's talk about this.
Okay.
I know you didn't watch Game of Thrones. No. But you obviously know that at the end of season one, the big thing that happens is the main character of the show dies. And yeah. The people watching are like, what the fuck are we going to do now? You just killed the main character of the show. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But even in that moment where you're like, how can this show go on? It wasn't that crazy because of how many other characters the show had. That show had like 10 main characters, all of which, or most of which, you met in the first season. So even with Ned Stark dead, that you got to like transition to Sansa and Arya and Tyrion and Jon and et cetera, et cetera. You had so many of them.
Sure.
But it makes sense in context as you go on. Like, turns out that happening was just really interesting and awesome because there are other characters who now have to deal with that.
Yeah.
The problem with this show doing things like that is that this show has two main characters, not 10. Losing Joel in the second season / the second game is this impending doom that I feel watching this show.
Because you know it happens.
This is, of course, but this is the moment where, again, this episode / this kind of game perspective, it changes to where Ellie is now the main character. Joel yeah. was your main character, was your yeah. eyes to see the world, but now it's Ellie, and it's this moment that makes that have to happen because, and it should let you know, like, oh, I don't know how much longer we're going to have Joel around, but also makes it shitty when we don't get as much time with Joel and Ellie as I want, because I know that's not going to happen forever. Keanu Reeves always says that at the end of John Wick, like at the end of John Wick 4, 5, or 6, however many they make, that he's most likely going to die. He's like, there are things, like I'm an assassin and I've been doing terrible things for six yeah. movies. If you think it's going to end it with a happily ever after, that's just wrong. But I disagree. You don't have to stick to reality. You don't have to stick to like what would really happen in this goddamn huge assassin movie where millions of people die from one dude. Like to be like, no, what would really happen is that he would die at the end of that. Like, no, what would really happen is he would have died in the first one on like yeah. the second thing that happened. We're not living right. in reality here. This no. is a movie. This is a yeah. television show.
John Wick is like superheroes.
yeah. Yeah, you know, exactly. And in this show, the superhero is Joel.
Yeah.
In this show, the superhero is Ellie.
But in the second game, and then we'll go back to
this 2 minutes is running up.
The second game, we also get the introduction of Abby and her entire backstory, which intertwines incredibly well with the first game.
Yeah. All right. It's let's just move really on. That was good. That's what I'm thinking while watching the show.
I hear you. And I would be curious to know how people are taking this, not knowing the fate of our characters.
Yeah.
I want to know how it is when you don't know what's going to happen next. Because yeah. I'll never know that ever again.
Right.
It's really
exactly.
sad.
Exactly. Which is why I love Succession so much. There's no way to know what's going to happen in the fourth right. season. It's
brand
just
new
100.
Show.
It's just going to be right. It's an original IP. So yep. I'm going to be surprised no matter what. And with most IPs, that's just not the case. So it's just very special when it's available to me. And yeah, I would be enjoying The Last of Us season one more if I didn't know the entirety of the future of it.
Sure.
But because I do, It makes me angry at the creators when I think they're taking for granted their audience's time.
See, you also didn't play the games in their entirety. You just know the major plot hits. When mm-hmm. you're playing the game, it definitely plays out in a much different way. And I think you know that, but it's hard to imagine it because you know everything that happens. That's like me with Game of Thrones. I know how it ends. I don't give a shit. I'm probably not going to watch it, man.
Yeah.
Because I know everything that happens and it will not be as good for me.
And I'm not anti-consequences, right? Like,
yeah.
What happens to the main characters in The Last of Us, or in many shows, are byproducts of consequences to things that they chose to do, right? And the fact that there are consequences, I think, is less like living in reality and more so just, yeah, you can't just do shit and have nothing happen to you or have your life not changed for the worse in some way when you make a selfish decision, a self-serving decision.
Yeah.
Even though it is perhaps morally or just for yourself, like the thing that you want to do. If you keep doing all the stuff that you want to do, eventually that's going to be negative for you in some way. Like there's always another side of the mountain you're going to fucking fall down. So I'm fine and I understand consequences. They need to happen. And if they didn't happen, shows would be bad. Movies would be bad. Consequences of actions are like, you know, the entirety of what drama is. So I get that, but also don't, you know? I'm not good at podcasting.
No, you're great. You're great.
God damn it.
Anyway, final scene. We're back at the house with Joel on the ground. Ellie finds a needle and thread and runs downstairs and begins to sew up Joel's wound. Again, she's very determined to keep him alive, not lose another person in her life that has grown to mean probably the most out of anyone she's probably ever met. This man has watched over her, has saved her, has cared for her, and now he needs her more than ever to help her live the rest of her life. That is the end of the episode. The credits roll. I thought, as a lover of the game, it was incredibly faithful. I understand your perspective with it being a little loose ends, kind of just out there, and it's frustrating. I understand that.
I think they say loose ends sink ships. I believe that's the phrase.
Loose
it's
lips.
Not, it's not sink ships. Yeah, it's not the phrase. It was a joke. Whatever, dude.
You know, as we all know, in this world, time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. So anyway, we'd like to thank our patrons, Sunshine, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, James Watch My Dung, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, and Carol Andreas. Thank you so much for your money. We very much appreciate it. Please, you know, continue upping your subscription. That's great. And we love that.
Yes. Again, patreon.com/HBOBOIZ for $1 or more a month. You get to hear the banter that we do before all the episodes. This one was probably a pretty long banter. So listen to that for $1. What a great just go do it. Go.
Yeah. And what kind of concert only costs 45 cents? A 50 cent concert featuring Nickelback. So, okay. Have a great day, everyone. And we'll see you next week for episode 8.
I hate you.